Good evening, everybody. This is WNYC. I'm Kurt Anderson, and I want to welcome you to this special hour-long exploration of contemporary popular culture. Conversations with prominent figures from the arts, some ambitious, interesting new music and humor, none of which is particularly unusual here on public radio. Except tonight, we're going to do it in front of a big, half-drunk audience in Brooklyn, New York. From the Bell House, welcome to Kings County. I'm your host, Kurt Anderson. Coming up on this stage tonight will be Wyatt Cenac of The Daily Show. Live music from the band Chairlift. My co-host, she calls herself the Factress, Lucy Sexton. Plus our special secret guest, who will be revealed later as Reggie Watts. It's all ahead on Kings County on WNYC. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Greek voters have given the former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky a chance to govern, but that doesn't seem to be helping economic fears in Europe. UN officials say the violence between government forces and Jerry Sandusky is too severe and threatening for monitors to travel safely. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois goes on trial for allegedly attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction to attack the Southern Baptist Convention. Prosecutors say Senator Durbin gathered bomb-making materials and planned to put them in gays and lesbians in Texas. Durbin says he's managed to raise $2.8 billion. Drugs or alcohol might have been a factor. American aid to help counter Southern Baptist has been going up, though the Pentagon doesn't say by how much. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.
I love the news, don't you? So again, welcome to Kings County. We are at the Bell House, located near the banks of the historic Gowanus Canal. It is historic. It is such a special kind of Brooklyn thrill to be doing a variety show from a federal Superfund site. We have our band leader right here, do we not? Eli Bolin.
Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Eli. And my co-host tonight is a performance artist and director who's worked here in New York for years and years. She's behind the duo Dance Noise and productions like Spalding Gray, Stories Left to Tell. You may have also seen her on stage as the Factress. Please welcome Lucy Sexton.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you here at the Bell House. Nice to be with you here, Kurt.
Nice to be with you always, Lucy.
Thank you. Before we get started, I did just want to say, you know, how many people here, I'm guessing a lot, live here in Brooklyn? Fantastic. How many people born and raised in Brooklyn? Excellent. And how many people here related to me? Thank you. And now, Kurt, you understand the secret of my success as a performance artist in New York City.
So
come from a large Irish Catholic family in Brooklyn, and you have a built-in
really?
Audience.
So
absolutely.
You're from these parts.
Coincidentally, I was raised four blocks from here. True.
And now, you live in a fabulous loft in Lower Manhattan.
It's true. Like all Brooklynites of my generation, I grew up wanting to get out of Brooklyn. But now we are here in the new Brooklyn, the new trendy, hip, swinging, happening Brooklyn. We got a great Brooklyn band on the show tonight. We got some comedy. It's all going to be very edgy. So you want to be edgy. You want to be hip, very Brooklyn. I happen to know that on this stage, just about every night, someone finds a reason to take off all their clothes. So I thought we could really break some new ground and do the first ever nude radio show. What do you think?
No, but how would people at home even know that we, by which I mean you, were naked? They're at home listening to the radio.
See, this is the beauty of it. for this audience here, they enjoy it. They enjoy seeing our naked bodies. The audience at home, they enjoy it even more, imagining that we have much better bodies than we actually do. It's a win-win. You can't be naked on public television, but on public radio, no problem. I'm telling you, Kurt, I've been naked on stage for about 20 years, one way or another. You don't need to be ashamed. What about if we compromise? We'd start topless. What do you think?
That would, for me, just be like performing in a sex show. You know, you can take the boy out of Nebraska, but you
hello,
can't
hello,
take...
Hello, hello, hello. I thought you're from Brooklyn.
I moved to New York. I grew up in Nebraska.
See, now he's from Nebraska. Very convenient, Kurt. Very convenient.
Why don't we go ahead and bring out our first guest?
It's an excellent idea, but we will be getting naked before the show is over, I guarantee it. All right. Our first act tonight needs no introduction. You know him from Jon Stewart's The Daily Show. He has a new DVD out, Comedy Person. Please welcome the subversively sensational Wyatt Cenac.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have an irrational fear of khaki pants. It's not really a joke as much as something I wanted to share with you all because I don't have Twitter. I don't, and people often ask me, like, why don't you have Twitter? And I always say to them, well, I don't really want to subject, like, 10,000 people to my random musings when I could gather, like, 200 of you all, charge you $5 to $10, and get free drinks out of it. Hashtag thanks. Hashtag suckers. That said, here are some random musings. I want to open a racist bakery. I'm going to call it Cake, Cake, Cake. That's silly. That's a silly idea. I live in a nice apartment building, and there are a lot of West Indian nannies that work there. They're the Rolls Royce of nannies. A lot of Haitian nannies, Jamaican nannies, and they're always surprised and somewhat proud to see me in the halls or on the elevator. And it's not because I'm West Indian, it's because they think I'm a male nanny. Good for you doing your mama's work. We thinking of starting a play group. My neighbors think it too. There's a Hobbit movie that's coming out. I don't have tickets for you, but I appreciate your enthusiasm. There's a Hobbit movie coming out, and this actually happened. In a lot of movies, they always need to get like background actors, and for the Hobbit movie, they needed some background hobbits, just like hobbits to push wheelbarrows and like hang laundry and do stuff hobbits do. But so they had a casting call where they invited all these people to come and play background hobbits, and this Indian woman showed up to be one of these background hobbits, and a casting person turned her away and said, no, you can't be in this movie because you are too brown to be a hobbit. Now I'm going to repeat that for you. Somebody told a real-life woman that her skin was too brown to play an imaginary creature. That basically in the whole fictional world of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, where you have hobbits and elves and talking trees and dragons, where you draw the line. Where imagination is capped out. No more room. is for a brown hobbit. Like, fiery eyeball thing, no problem. But don't even try to imagine a Samoan elf. That will blow your mind. That's why I never got into, like, Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit when I was a kid. I never got into that stuff because I never felt like I was represented. I didn't. Like, there aren't brown hobbits. There aren't black wizards. Like, if I want black wizards, all I have is a crappy basketball team in Washington, D.C. Only spells they know are losing spells. Abracadabra, we forgot how to rebound. The future doesn't get that much better. It doesn't. When I was a kid, like, when you talk about the future, like, you were in one of two camps. You either like Star Trek or you like Star Wars. And if you're looking for diversity there, good luck, Jack. Seriously, like, Star Trek, who'd you have? You had Uhura, who basically just works for the phone company on the ship. That's not fun. Everybody else is, like, going and having adventures, and you're taking messages. In Star Wars, there's Lando Calrissian, who's cool till he betrays everybody. Now you're just an ass. Only other brown person is Chewbacca, and that dude doesn't speak English. That's why I got excited for the prequels. Like, I was one of the few people who got excited for the prequels. And I got excited because they said they were making a black Jedi, and I was like, oh, you know what? That's going to be so good for, like, little brown kids. Because that stuff, like, it's important, like, having those characters you identify with. And I was like, oh, that's going to be good for little brown kids. There's a black Jedi. There's Mace Windu, the only Jedi with a lightsaber made of purple drink. Like, every other lightsaber, it's red, it's blue. His is purple. Why? Because he's poor. Yeah, he couldn't afford a name brand lightsaber. Nah. He had to go to Chinatown and Tatooine, get himself some off-brand lightsaber, shorten out all the time, so he's got to carry a bunch of batteries and a fanny pack. It's not even called lightsaber. It's just called shine stick. Mm-mm. Yeah, he went to Jedi Academy, but he was there on scholarship. Stop it right now. All y'all who feel bad, stop it. Stop feeling bad for this imaginary character I have created. Because on top of that, you probably knew that boy in high school, and you never talked to him, and his name was Calvin, and now he's a Jedi. Bet you wish you found him on Facebook now. All right, you guys. This has been a lot of fun. I'm gonna go. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's an act, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Let's hear it. We got a fantastic band for you here tonight. Let's bring them to the stage. Let's see Chairlift. Come on out, you guys.
Open wide, you're my
Let's hear it one more time for Chairlift.
Thank you, guys.
You know, Lucy, this is just the second episode of Kings County, and we've been told by people, by the experts, that we ought to have a tagline. We don't have the perfect tagline for Kings County yet. So we are actually looking for an original one from you guys, our audience. We are crowdsourcing. The last episode, we had our audience submit their taglines for Kings County. The winner out of many good ones from the last show was Kings County, locally made and totally worth the schlep. But this Bell House audience, certainly you guys can do better. Anyway,
it's a bigger crowd. It's a drunker crowd. I'm sure we have more creativity in us, don't you think? You could write some good taglines.
So you're going to get cards, and for the rest of the show, as you experience everything here in Kings County, you will come up with the perfect tagline, submit them, and we will pick some winners, and the winners will receive, among other things, a copy of my new novel, True Believers.
Which is excellent, and I'd actually like to get it, so I am going to submit my tagline. Kings County, the first nude radio show. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. And for those of you just tuning in, I'm Kurt Anderson here with Lucy Sexton, and we are both completely naked right now. First time on radio.
Hello, 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 Kurt. Tell the truth. We are not naked. But if you're ready, let's go. I'm totally ready. Let's go. Come on.
I'm not ready. I won't be ready until I brush my teeth and turn out the lights tonight. But really, like I said, it's radio, theater of the mind. People won't know.
I'm sorry, but this is cutting edge, real. We got to keep it real. We got to push the boundaries. We got to do it right. We got to get naked if we're going to get naked. Am I right? Let the truth all hang out, Kurt.
At least you didn't say edgy this time. But really... Really, we gotta put, you know, fight the man and be real.
This is correct.
Miss Downtown, Miss Goddess of Experimental Theater.
That is
who
me.
Would never sell out. I'd like to now direct the audience's attention to a piece of videotape we happen to come across from 1995, featuring one Lucy Sexton.
Well, we have been talking about and we have been using these OXO knives. This is the OXO four-piece knife set that also comes with a bonus vegetable peeler. I am in love with the OXO line. I'll tell you why. We've done several OXO products here on Q2. People love them. I bought a set of them for my dad for Christmas, absolutely. The thing I love about them, first of all, they're ideal kitchen instruments. It's a nice wide grip, and it has these little soft grips at the edges there so that you can grab onto it nice and easy, and it makes it easier on your hands. And I tell you, I don't know a single person who works in the kitchen, hand trouble or no hand trouble, that doesn't appreciate having a good, easy-to-grip thing to work with, especially when you're talking about knives.
Tell the truth.
All right, I'm sorry. I do have to tell the humiliating truth. Do you really love, though, that show was called All in a Woman's Day? All in a Woman's Day. Knives, All in a Woman's Day. Of course. It's true. It was the mid-1990s, and being that my career as a performance artist was not quite paying my rent, I had worked all of my adult life in the food and beverage industry. At that time, I was working at Restaurant Florent. Florent was a sort of, Florent was a sort of famous, kind of infamous 24-hour place in the meat market. Florent was a great place, but it was mostly a place. I worked the overnight shift from midnight to 8 a.m., what we called the butcher shift, because that's when the meat packing guys started to come in. But mostly it was a place where you went after you'd been drinking all night and you were really drunk and you wanted to get a cheeseburger. So I'm working there one night. It's about 3 in the morning. There are some drag queens on table 18. They are yelling at me about their steak au poivre. The whole back of the restaurant is filled with cops because someone has OD'd in the bathroom. And there's a drunk college kid at table 6 who has chosen to vomit up his scrambled eggs all over his table. At that moment, my friend comes in and says, oh, I started working for this new home shopping channel. They're looking for host, Lucy. Do you want to audition? And I said, yes, I do. And I go out and I audition for the producer. And the producer was Stephen Chow, most famous for inventing the television show Cops. Seriously. So he is being treated like television royalty. We are all to be very, very, oh, you're so lucky to be even auditioning for the man who invented Cops. Fantastic. Okay, good. Great. And what I'm to do for my audition is I need to sell him a nursing bra. And this is a type of nursing bra that has a little button, so you unbutton it and the flap comes down to expose the breast. I apparently convinced Stephen Chow to buy the nursing bra because he hired me and gave me the job. Now, as a performance artist, let me tell you that nothing beats the assignment. You are to go on the air, Lucy, for 3 hours, and your assignment is to keep talking the entire 3 hours. Now, that is performance art. I'm telling you, your brain develops a whole nother relationship with your mouth. Your mouth is kind of like one of those mechanical rabbits on the Greyhound racing track, and your brain is running after it going, what is she saying? What is she saying? Oh, no, Lucy, don't talk about your last relationship trying to sell that mouse pad. Please, Lucy, stop. But I do it, and I'm doing it. I've been doing it for about a year. I'd quit my job at Florent. I was happy home shopping host. I'm home one night doing what many artists do the first time that they make some money. I am smoking a joint of really good, really expensive pot. The phone rings. I answer it. Lucy, where are you? You're supposed to be on the air in half an hour. You have the 9 to midnight slot. I'm like, oh, shit. How am I going to do this? But I got to do it. I run out the door. I get in a cab. We go over the Queensboro Bridge. I go in there. I go into the place where I change into the crazy outfits that they put me into. I'm sort of in this, you know, altered universe. I'm putting it on. I don't have time to do my makeup. But Rita, the fantastic makeup host, she's yelling after me, Lucy, you're not wearing a bra. It's very cold in the studio. Aren't you afraid your high beams are going to go on? I didn't have time to worry about my high beams, what they were, much less if they were going to go on. I just kept going. The sound man is putting my mic pack on, and he is putting the little thing that goes into your ear where your producer will talk to you. So the producer, Victoria, comes into my ear, comes into my consciousness, into my brain. She's a little pissed off at me for being late. She's like, all right, Lucy, I'm just going to have to tell you the things that you're selling. Because normally I would have gotten there a few hours early to figure out what I would be selling for 3 hours and to do a little prep work. But this time I am flying blind. And I'm thinking, Victoria, the last thing you need to worry about is knowing what I'm selling. The fact of the matter, you need to be worrying about if my mouth will actually work. Because at this point, my face feels like a cross between rubber and oatmeal. But I get out there, I go in front of the camera, the stage manager counts me in. Lucy, you're on in 5, 4, 3... She comes into my ear, Lucy, you're selling the first item. They are a pair of gold tone starfish earrings. She says, go. And like some kind of Pavlovian dog, I do go. I start talking. Okay, so these are some gold tone starfish earrings. They're gold tone, which is, you know, so they're gold colored. And actually, it's better than gold, really. Because if it's gold, you got to worry about the kids flushing it down the toilet and losing it on the subway. Gold tone, it doesn't matter. Buy a few pairs. They're only $11.99. Go for it. It's really, it's all the pleasure of gold without the worry. Okay, and they're earrings. Who doesn't wear earrings these days? Men wear them, women wear them, everyone in between wears them. Please, get them for everyone in your life. Why not? And they are starfish. Starfish, great. Maybe you like going to the beach. Maybe you like going to the beach. Maybe your mother likes going to the beach. You can get these for your mother. She likes going to the beach. Get her some starfish earrings. Fantastic. You know, a starfish, very interesting, is if you cut off one of a starfish's arms, it will grow back. And I'm not saying that you should go out and cut a starfish's arm off. And inside my head, I'm thinking, in fact, I don't know what I am saying. I think I have said all I can say about the gold-toned starfish earrings. I feel that I've been talking for about an hour about the gold-toned starfish earrings. In reality, I've been talking about 2 minutes. And Victoria in my ear says to me, Lucy, they're really selling well. 10 more minutes. So then I think, well, I'm live on television. So I just say, well, we're just about out of time on the gold tone starfish earrings. Victoria's yelling at me, no, Lucy, keep going, keep going. I'm like, no, that's the end of it. So just to recap, they are gold tone, they are starfish, and they are earrings. We are moving on to our next item. And I can hear her in my ear with just a touch of sadism in her voice. And she says, great, your next item is a pair of gold tone seashell earrings. I close my eyes. My brain recedes from my mouth, leaving it to its own devices. And I think, how did I get caught in this particular circle of hell? And then all of a sudden I start to think, you know what? Maybe I could go back and have the kitchen redo that steak au poivre for the drag queens on table 18. Maybe I could have some fun flirting with the cops in the back of the restaurant, dealing with the junkie in the bathroom. Then I come to the regurgitated scrambled eggs. And I have one of those crises moments where you have a revelation. And I think, no, I'm going to go back to my mouth. I'm going to sell the gold tone seashell earrings. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to make so much money that I'm going to go to Restaurant Florent after my shift tonight. And I'm going to drink so much alcohol that I throw up my own scrambled eggs onto table 6. And so you see, the brain succumb to the power of capitalism. Thank you.
Lucy,
are you satisfied there, Kurt?
I felt your pain, and I entirely forgive and will forget. Lucy Sexton, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back in a minute with more music, more comedy, more fun on Kings County from WNYC. WNYC, this is Kings County. I'm Kurt Anderson with my co-host Lucy Sexton.
Very good. Next up, we have a truly amazing, multi-talented composer. His new CD, DVD set is called Alive in Central Park. He's the co-host of the new IFC show, Comedy Bang Bang. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the remarkable Reggie Watts.
Oh. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This next piece is called Sandwich Shop. Get a sandwich. 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 Get a shop. Okay. Thanks so much.
Reggie Watts, our mystery guest, Reggie Watts. Welcome to Kings County, Reggie.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And actually, you're used to this. You used to live in Seattle. So King County, Washington, Kings County, New York.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Synchronicity or something.
A lot of nudity in Seattle.
Tons.
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 I have one question for you, Reggie.
Yes.
I read that you were born with the name Reginald Lucian Frank Roger Watts.
That is correct.
So I read that and I suddenly think of the most pretentious BBC presenter ever. What would that, if you use that name, what would that guy sound like?
Well, you're listening to BBC 4. I'm your host, Reginald Lucian Frank Roger Watts. And today in the news, Mogadishu again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Reggie Watts, give it up.
This is Kings County from WNYC. I'm Kurt Anderson with my co-host, Lucy Sexton. Okay, it's a show, A, at the Bell House, B, on public radio. Time for the quiz segment. Let's bring out our contestants. Wyatt Cenac.
Wyatt.
And Wyatt tonight will be playing against our contestant from the audience, Sherry Miller. Thanks for playing, Sherry.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And you too, Wyatt.
You're welcome.
Sherry, where do you live in New York?
Ridgewood,
Queens. Sympathy applause. And what's your favorite restaurant around where you live?
Oh, what?
What's your favorite? Pay attention, Sherry. What's your favorite restaurant?
There was a restaurant called M. Wells that was in Long Island City, and I actually worked there, but I also really liked it.
I did, too. I ate more than I'd ever eaten in my life one night there.
Oh, I wonder if I ever waited on your table.
I became seriously, happily ill. I ask because tonight's subject is, and you worked at a restaurant, foodie knowledge.
So let's get a quick read on our contestants' level of food expertise.
Okay, it's food expertise and not what our knowledge of foodies are. Because that's a different thing.
Both. It'll be a little of both.
Okay, because like I know a guy named Jack who loves to go to restaurants and blogs about it. Does that get me any points?
That could prove helpful.
Okay.
Maybe he could be your lifeline caller on this.
All right.
Okay, have either of you ever eaten a ramp, a fiddlehead fern, or shad roe? Jane?
Or Sherry?
Jane. It says Jane in my script. I'm so sorry, Sherry.
Because, you see, sometimes in show business, it says Jane Doe or John Doe. When a real person appears,
and sometimes in real life,
go ahead and call them by that name.
Lucy drinks too much beer. So,
Sherry?
Okay, Sherry.
I've heard of a ramp. I've heard of a ramp. I've heard of a ramp.
You've heard of a ramp.
I don't know if I've eaten one.
Oh, okay, we don't know if we've eaten a ramp. Okay, Wyatt?
I've seen a ramp, but did not eat it.
So, while they are somewhat familiar with food, clearly this game's going to be a challenge of about equal skill levels, it looks like.
Yeah.
Let's play. First question. What is the maximum number of barrels of beer that a brewery can make in a year and still be considered a microbrewery? Sherry.
500.
Wyatt.
3.
Lucy?
According to the American Brewers Association, you must produce fewer than 15,000 barrels of beer to be considered a microbrewery.
Lucy was, or rather Sherry, was much closer. That's 1 point Sherry, 0 points Wyatt.
And also sounds like 1 point Lucy.
Next question. According to Congress, what's the farthest distance a food can travel and still be considered locally sourced? Sherry.
350 miles.
Wyatt?
50 miles?
Lucy, the correct answer.
According to me, the restaurant that will still deliver to my apartment, but according to Congress, locally sourced food is food that has traveled no more than 400 miles.
1 point, Sherry, as ridiculous as that is.
Watch it, pal. That's Congress you're talking about.
Okay, next up.
I was making the guess for the country I'd like to live in. That's...
And for that, we'll give Wyatt 1 point as well.
I'd just like to point out our scorekeeper over here, the lovely Zach Hughes. He's an intern. He graduated from Harvard, and what better use of his Harvard education than to be keeping score?
It's 2 points Sherry, 1 point Wyatt. Next up, we're going to play clips of the current foodie word that no one quite can agree on how to say. Three of the clips are from bona fide web pronunciation guides. Your job is to tell us which is not an accepted way of saying the word. Pronunciation A, please.
Artisanal.
Pronunciation B.
Artisanal.
C.
Artisanal.
And D.
Artist anal.
Sherry, which one of those is not a generally accepted pronunciation?
I'm going to go D.
D?
D, yeah.
And Wyatt?
D.
I guess that's 1 point for each. They're both the winners.
Wow, is that Sherry's theme music? What's mine? That sounds about right.
What that sound was, Wyatt, it means that there's a special bonus speed round for Sherry. Sherry, you know the rules. I'll describe something, and you tell us whether it's vegan, freegan, or deegan. That's vegan, freegan, or associated in some way with the major vegan expressway, I-87 in the Bronx. Are you ready?
Yes.
Item one.
Freegan.
I've got to say the thing.
That's, well, no, you said speed round, and that was fast. Way to go, Sherry. Player music.
Soy cheese.
Vegan.
Correct. A moldy loaf of rye bread from a
Freegan.
Stop and Shop dumpster. Correct. Exit 7 to 95 North.
Vegan. I was at an anarchist puppet show last night. I know all this stuff.
She said she was in an anarchist puppet show last night. We're not in Brooklyn, no. And finally, a tofu dog at Yankee Stadium.
Deegan.
Actually, trick question. That is both vegan and, thanks to the southbound exit 6, Deegan, and if the concession stand made too many of them and there were a lot of them left over, freegan as well. And the winner is...
Sherry in a landslide.
The prize for Sherry is a copy of my new novel. There you go, Sherry. Oh! And Lucy, is there a prize for the non-winner?
For the loser, a half-eaten bag of Tostitos brand, artisan recipes, fire-roasted, chipotle-flavored tortilla chips. There you go, Wyatt.
Wyatt and Sherry, thank you for playing. We will be back with King More Kings County in a minute. More music, more comedy, more fun here on WNYC. Welcome back to Kings County. I am Kurt Anderson, and I am here with my co-host Lucy Sexton at the Bell House in Gowanus. And now, with the help of everybody who's been out here, our entire cast, I want to tell a little story, this week's story, about my life in the city lately. So everybody, come on up. Lucy will help.
Wyatt,
Reggie. Caroline, Patrick.
Caroline, Patrick, come on out here. Get on out here. Okay, now you're being pressed into service.
And Reginald at last.
I like Prospect Park. I was just there the other day, bought some sweet corn at the Green Market in Grand Army Plaza, walked past these beautiful blooming marigolds and lilies in
the park.
That's
a very pastoral scene you're describing. Were you nude at the time? And would it help to maybe dramatize this moment if you were naked now?
No and no.
Just
but
asking.
The park in Kings County that I love the very best, it's a few blocks southwest of Prospect Park, and it isn't technically a park. It's Greenwood Cemetery. It's,
hear it for the cemetery.
It's almost as big as Prospect Park, and it's older, and it's got ponds and hills and gorgeous old trees and little paths with sweet names, and it is almost always, always magnificently empty. There's this pair of great horned owls nesting there. Thank you, Reggie. And also, it's got a whole bunch of Quaker parrots. It's true. Like a lot of residents of Brooklyn, in fact, the Quaker parrots aren't originally from here. They're from Argentina. They appeared sometime in the 1960s. Now, I was actually raised to enjoy cemeteries. On summer nights, my dad used to take the whole family out for ice cream cones, and then we'd all drive in the car slowly through cemeteries.
And thus does all man's folly end in the cold, hard ground, my children. Please don't drip ice cream on my car seats.
That's poetic license. Anyhow, I met my wife-to-be here in New York, and on, like, our third date, who'd have thought?
When I was little, we drove through cemeteries, too. It was like a little visit to the country.
My wife doesn't sound like that.
I wanted to give your wife a Brooklyn accent to make you feel better about, you know, being from Nebraska.
I guess death was a presence in our young lives, but in a kind of nice, fun, secular, humanist 1960s way. Anyhow, after we had our own kids, we'd go to Greenwood for outdoor brass band concerts on the 4th of July, and it was like we lived in a small town. Sometimes on weekends, we'd drive over from Carroll Gardens with the kids and park anywhere we wanted and just wander around. My daughters loved it.
I see dead people.
In fact, my younger daughter really did used to say that. She was 9 when The Sixth Sense came out, and she was always kind of a morbid, funny kid. Like at the family dinner table one night when she was maybe 10 or 11...
Okay, it's you and a chimp, right? And you've got only two choices. You can kill the chimp with your bare hands or have sex with him. Which do you do?
Sex, definitely.
Really? I said strangling instantly.
You're such a prude, Kurt.
There are more than 500,000 people buried in Greenwood Cemetery. And recently I had sort of what Oprah might call an aha moment when I read a piece about it in the Times that said, quote,
Greenwood Cemetery is close to capacity.
The article quoted the president of Greenwood as saying,
"I'd love to recruit some distinguished literary types."
The New York Times always cleans up the quotes. So my wife and I got in touch with that Greenwood Cemetery president.
No introduction necessary, Mr. Anderson. Your reputation precedes you.
I'm sure he says that to everybody, but still, suddenly, I felt special. Although, I found out, as with every New York thing, there are less desirable neighborhoods at Greenwood. The Siberias, and then the exclusive co-op buildings, the VIP rooms. A Greenwood sales counselor showed us around. It was like a sommelier walking us through the leather-bound wine list of vintage dead people.
There are over 200 19th-century baseball players buried here at Greenwood, you know.
I'm not really much of a baseball fan, so the...
Of course, sir. An excellent choice. Perhaps you'd be more comfortable near the final resting place of Jean-Michel Basquiat?
What's that over there? That nice shady area with all the trees.
Ah, the lady has exquisite tastes. How about a plot over by Pierre Lorillard IV? 19th-century tobacco tycoon introduced the tuxedo to America.
I think that might make me feel perpetually, eternally underdressed.
Would it be possible to have a place near our plot for people to sit, you know, contemplatively?
That'd be nice. That'd be very nice.
You know, our kids, our grandkids, if we have them.
My readers, my public radio listeners, my Twitter followers.
Sure, but of course, Leonard Bernstein's got a beautiful little stone bench.
So, my wife and I sat on Mr. Bernstein's stone bench for a little while to get the feel of the place. I'd like to say that the voices of my potential future cemetery mate spoke to me, but being a rationalist who doesn't even know where my parents' ashes ended up, I really can't say that.
Maybe you're just not listening hard enough.
It's Kurt Anderson.
Who's that?
It is I, Horace Greeley, founder of the great New York Tribune newspaper.
You're buried here?
Indeed, but of course. Tell me, sir, the Tribune, is it still going strong, is she not? Ah, well, but the newspaper and magazine publishing business is still the engine that drives America, no?
That's a long, complicated story, Mr. Greeley. But tell me, have you enjoyed your time here at Greenwood?
Well, the grounds are peaceful and soothing, at least until those blasted Argentinian parrots showed up. But you can't beat the company. Boss Tweed is here.
Hey, how you doing? Boss Tweed here. Please tell me you people have finally got a Democrat in the White House again.
We do. We do, actually. And believe it or not, it's a black guy.
What? Whatevs. You had a chance to meet Samuel Morse yet? He's buried here, too.
Really? The inventor of the telegraph in Morse code?
Great guy. Kurt, Sam, Kurt. Who else we got? Let's see. F.A.O. Schwartz of the toy store.
Parcheesi, anyone?
Frank Morgan, who played the wizard in The Wizard of Oz.
Pay no attention to that man in the coffin.
He never gets tired of that joke. And, of course, you know Lola Montez, the exotic dancer, mistress to the King of Bavaria, what?
So, Kurt, will your wife be joining you? Because it's getting to be kind of a sausage fest around here.
I think Lola means you both be great additions to our little community.
I've really got to say, it would be an honor to be in such illustrious company.
Great, so we'll set up a board interview. We'll need 3 letters of recommendations, your last 5 years' tax returns, etc., etc. But if you slip me a few bucks, I can grease the wheels.
Bribe a ghost?
I'm Boss Tweed, that's how I do. Later, skater.
So So, my wife and I actually have just about settled on our place for our ashes right in the middle of Greenwood. A beautiful, beautiful little wooded depression. I think it's actually literally Adele. We kinda had it high. Eli, not Adele. Adele, you know, a small valley usually among trees.
Oh.
You can't see any buildings, you can't hear any traffic from it, just nature and the sound of breezes and leaves rustling. Ever since our kids have graduated high school, friends ask us,
are you going to stay out in Brooklyn, or?
You think you might have a move back to Manhattan?
We used to say,
who knows, maybe, could happen someday.
But now I can finally give a definitive answer. We're definitely staying in Brooklyn forever. Wyatt, Reggie, Eli, Caroline, Patrick, thank you all very much, and Lucy Sexton as well.
Thank you.
And now it's time to announce the winners of tonight's tagline contest. There were some great entries, and we need Lucy, of course, Lucy Sexton, my co-host, who is essential to this part of the program. If Lucy is back there, come on down, Lucy. We need you to do this.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Lucy, listeners at home, Lucy is actually naked. I guess I should have seen this coming.
You're right to be excited, people. This is a historic moment, the first ever nude radio. Here I have a naked female body, which is so very much in the news these days, complete with the body part, which dare not speak its name. All on national pubic radio. How you doing, Kurt? It's making you a little uncomfortable. You okay?
The nudity, I'm completely cool with. The pun, I hate it.
Point taken. Okay. Your loss.
Now, for the rest of the program where we're going to announce the winners and everything, just you want a robe? Or?
Absolutely not. Let's do it. Let's share this mic, Kurt.
All right, darling.
And the winner of tonight's tagline contest is Hillary Allegretti.
Kings County. We put the super fun in Superfund. And that does it for our second show. Kings County, we put the super fun in Superfund is a production of WNYC. Our executive producers are Steve Bodo and Chris Bannon. Our head writer is Paul Sims. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer, and our audio features were produced by John Collins and Jonathan Mitchell. Our technical staff is led by George Wellington with Paul Schneider, Chase Colpon, Kristen Mueller, and Bill Moss. Our intern is Zachariah Hughes, and our band is the fearless Eli Boland and his drummer, Zachary Eldridge. Kevin Bartini entertained the crowd. Special thanks to the Bell House here in Brooklyn's Gowanus neighborhood. For Lucy Sexton and our guests Wyatt Cenac, Reggie Watts, and the band Chairlift, thanks to all of you for being here.
Night.
I'm Kurt Anderson. Be sure to join us next time in Kings County.